Okay.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. Has everybody kind of reviewed the minutes from the last meeting or had a chance to look at them or any questions or concerns about them?
I have one, not concern, but that I reached out to Susan already just to say, hey.
Uh-huh.
As I was reading it, in the third paragraph right in the middle, when it says the proposal was made to the committee as to whether to consider a new curriculum that aligns with the new standards, I was worried that that might be interpreted as I was proposing that we change curriculum. And there's a really lengthy process for doing that. So I went back and got the audio from Linda, and I was
okay.
Like, what did I actually say? Because I don't think I said let's consider a new curriculum, but I do know that we were going to review the supplement. So
okay.
I went back to listen, and what I actually said was Andy and I wanted to propose that the committee get to look at was the phrase that I used, look at the supplement alongside the text and consider whether or not, if there was a need to change in the future, whether or not this is something we would want to consider. So Susan was like, I didn't have the audio to double check the thing. So what I sent her actually that I felt like was a true statement based on listening was, Ms. Brumley suggested the members could have the opportunity to review the supplemental material alongside the text to provide input that could be considered if there was a future need for new curriculum. And that's really just if you all are open, especially those of you who are here, which is like,
yeah, and
before,
I wasn't.
If you're okay with that, I think that's a more accurate and less likely to be misinterpreted statement of what happened in there.
Okay.
We have since located the existing curriculum, and Andy's brought it tonight so that you can see it. And we've got a plan to make sure that a fresh and organized copy is on every middle school campus when we resume instruction next year. So there's, and we aligned it to the new text, which means there's not a need at this time to switch. And I have since learned the lengthy process that is required to do that. So that's kind of where we are with that, if the committee is okay with that adjustment.
Just to kind of clarify it, and then they'll make adjustments to that. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody's good with that? Call to approve.
I'm not supposed to be taking minutes.
Go ahead.
She messaged me that she wasn't going to be here tonight.
Okay. No, you don't have to because it'll be on the recording. So
yes.
Because she's recording it now.
Susie, because I'm a little busy right now.
Okay.
But I'm just going to kind of give her a
and I emailed it to
voices
her also.
Because
perfect.
Sometimes it's hard to tell when you're listening unless you're right.
Who's talking?
But so I'll make the motion to accept the minutes with the amendment.
Yes, thank you. And then we need a second, okay,
seven.
Thank you. And I think everybody here's new, although I'm not sure I know you.
I'm Candace.
Okay, that you're in. Okay. It's like I think I know everybody else, or I've seen everybody else that's here, so. Okay, so thank you everybody for coming. She just did the little that we amended the.
Okay.
The change there with
and
the.
And Linda and I talked about that.
Okay.
Time too.
Yeah.
I was like, we actually listened to it together, and I said, "Does this match what you do? Do the words I said on the audio? Because I didn't like cite the actual words, but to summarize the words, she said yes, thanks."
Okay, so we've already made a motion to approve that and everything. So. Anything new? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and get into, I guess, our first speaker. Unless anybody else can think of anything else. So, okay, so that's you're Kimberly.
No,
Kimberly. You're Kimberly. Okay, so I'm sorry. So I'm terrible with people and names.
No, it's
okay. So, and I guess you're going to talk to us more about updates there.
Yes, I'm going to hand it off to Andy in a minute.
Okay.
Finish chewing. As part of the follow-up to the last meeting where, I expressed a concern that when I tried to find the curriculum to make sure that parents could view it on the campuses, that librarians weren't always sure what they were looking for. And so some of that is change of staff, and some of it is where each library makes it available. So we've internally established some better procedures about where we'll have those materials available for parent review, and that we'll pull them from the campus when the cycle of instruction is over to make sure that if we make adjustments in the order of lessons or any components of the lessons, that we refresh that. And then at the point that we deliver the letter to families, we will also deliver the binder to campuses, and with some directions about its prominent, not display, but availability to families. We'll also keep an archived copy available at 1AISD that's a lock and key kind of copy, like never to be lost. And we'll have copies with Student Health Services. So there'll be multiple places where families who are interested can view the curriculum, and we'll make sure that it's always fresh for the year of instruction that's coming up. I know that last time Andy shared with the committee the data for student opt-in, and we were pleased in the most part that such a strong percentage of the student body did participate. And what he has done since then is go through and take the 5 lessons that we used this year in our cycle and provide some information to share with you which lessons out of the grade 6 and grade 8 texts, the curriculum, have been pulled together to address the text, TEKS, the student standards for human sexuality and wellness. Andy and I talked about this late last week, and we know that there are some standards that are not covered. They're in the unit, but not being covered in the 5 lessons. Part of that is because prior SHAC guidance was, we think the focus should be here, 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 and here, and so there were some lessons that weren't selected for that reason. And the other is that there is some overlap between the human sexuality and wellness standards and standards in other content area, like our social-emotional learning curriculum or the technology applications curriculum where it relates to cyberbullying and some of those mental health aspects that are in multiple places. So it's not that they won't be addressed, but some of them will be addressed in other places instead of here. So Andy has some slides to share with you about the lessons and what those lessons are focusing on and where we find the material in the resources we have.
Okay, so again, as a district, we use Baylor Scott and White curriculum. And as mentioned, we have our grade 6 book and our grade 8 book, and we combine those texts together to create our 7th grade curriculum. So with the lessons that we focused on during our sex ed unit, lesson 1, we have healthy relationships and avoiding risky behaviors, 2, puberty, and then with that lesson, as we separate male and female, we talk specifically to that gender what they're experiencing as they go through puberty. You've got male and female reproductive systems and anatomy, sexually transmitted diseases, abstinence, and then teething, pregnancy, and development. Those are our 5 lessons that we cover at each middle school campus within a week. So just kind of starting off with our first one, healthy relationships and avoiding risky behaviors. As we gather our content from our 2 textbooks here, you can see where each lesson starts. And so with grade 8, lesson 1.1, slide 1, that's mainly your reference as to where to find it within the actual curriculum. We put a huge emphasis on the essential human needs, and that's really the bulk of our first lesson, alongside with caring adults and then great friends. So that's really your main focus with our first lesson. One thing that, you know, I always stress to our seventh grade students is I wish I had one of those, someone that I can go to and present sensitive information to. You know, I wish I had an adult mentor that I can go to. And so as I delivered that message to them, I really just kind of hammered that onto them. Hey, make sure you find a caring adult. And then we did briefly talk about great friends. We kind of ran over a list of what qualifies as a great friend. But if that's something that I expect, you need to also be doing the same. And so that was the focus with that one as well. Moving on with puberty, we talked about what is puberty, what's going on with your body, what are some of the things that you're going to experience. We talked a lot about the emotional ups and downs that each student may go through. A supplemental resource that we used with this lesson, Always Changing. It's a video that we've used for years, even our fifth grade students. They've got a girl video, and they have a boy video as well. And so that's, again, puberty, what's going on with my body during that time. With male and female reproductive systems, we do talk about both sexes. You know, I'm teaching the boys, we're going to talk about boys, we're also going to talk about females. We go over the main reproductive parts. We don't go over everything, but we do have our targeted specific areas that we talk about. And then we always end that lesson with abstinence, even though we're not talking about the birds and the bees. We're still going to throw that in there. We're still going to throw in abstinence, and this is what we believe as a district. So, moving on again with STDs and abstinence, we talk about what each STD or STI is. We talk about ways that that individual can contract that. We talk about ways. You know, if it's viral, you've got it for the rest of your life. If it's an infection, we talk about you need to speak to your doctor, your primary, and ways to treat that. We also talk about sex and the law and the consequences that come with that as well. And again, we end with abstinence there. Again, when it comes to abstinence, we focus, yeah, these all happen, but you can prevent that with abstinence. And so, you know, whether they take the lesson or not, it's up to them. And then finally, we have teen pregnancy and development. We do talk about worth the wait, and you can find that right here with our grade 8 lesson 2.3, slide 43. We talk about some of the consequences that go alongside with that, male and female, both sides. There's consequences to it. There's emotional consequences. There's financial consequences. And again, before we move on with our supplemental resource that we use here, we end that with abstinence, always. And then with development and birth, our supplemental resource that we use is Life's Greatest Miracle. And so it gives a great depiction of this is what's going on. And so, wraps up my, any questions?
I described that we would have that curriculum available for parents to view. So with the outline that Andy has made, we'll be collecting all of those pieces into a single binder, basically, for each of the four middle school campuses that will have all of those lessons and portions in order, copied from the two, so that parents aren't having to go bounce back between the sixth grade book and the eighth grade book and that kind of thing. We will pull them together and have them in a single seventh grade book. Here's the first lesson, these are the main concepts, and here are the materials for parent review.
All right, and then Candace.
Okay, I'm Candace Grunewald, and I'm the Abilene ISD Student Nutrition Director, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you guys. One of the things that we're doing that we did last year as well is, once again, for the next 3 years, we'll be operating under the Community Eligibility Provision Act, which means that all of our students can have a free breakfast and lunch. As well as for elementary, we provide anchor snacks, and then high school, the Be a Champion program comes in with a afternoon snack for them. And so we're really excited to continue to get to be part of that program. As last year, when we first looked at the program, we were at 92% socioeconomic poverty in Abilene. And so we had three schools that didn't really qualify for it, Adams, Austin, and Ward and Dice, actually four. But we decided to go on and make it citywide instead of picking, you know, and leaving someone out, which brought us down to 89.10%, which to you guys, that means that we get to claim 89.10% of our students at a free rate and then 9% at a paid rate. Well, with the economy the way it is and how hard Abilene has really been hit, this year we're actually coming in at a 92.1 rate for all of our students. And so we're continuing to see economic struggles as well as for us as a district. And I don't know if y'all realize it, we are a $13 million business. We are self-funded. And so everything that we make comes from the money that we get reimbursement on or our a la carte sales. And we're a $13 million total business, and our expenses run around $11 million. And most of that's food, and you can imagine what the food cost up. And so we had the opportunity in March to go to the Legislative Action Committee in Washington, D.C., and lobby our representatives. And so we went for four things. One, we were supporting the McGovern 1269 House bill that makes a permanent raise on our reimbursement of 45 cents for lunch and 28 cents for breakfast. And that goes a long way in helping. Our food costs are up 32% this year. And so it goes a long way to help us try to meet the shortages we're having, as well as, you know, the increase in food. And so we got to lobby for that. Another thing that we lobbied for is the Healthy Hunger Free Act had some stipulations on continuing to decrease the sodium in our students' meals. And we lobbied that they stop the requirements on that. Where we're at today, we're able to provide a good product that's whole wheat, but if they continue to go down the four levels, it will make it very difficult for our families. And our argument for that is that our children, probably some of the best meals they get are breakfast and lunch at the schools. If you make it to where they don't eat, then you have hurt them. And we did talk to USDA and the representatives about the fact that you're holding WIC to the standards that we're held to. You hold student nutrition or child nutrition to the standards, but yet you don't hold food stamps to the standard. And so the kids are getting, you know, not really the healthiest meals sometimes at night. And so that was one of the things we went to it for. We went with the hope that maybe we could get universal free throughout the United States, but we quickly realized as we were lobbying that that's not something that would pass. And so for Abilene, we were okay with the 2.6% to multiply our factor to get our socioeconomic, but a lot of schools fall to the 40% level and can't afford to go to the CEP program. And so what we lobbied for, and we hope in McGovern's bill that will get passed, is that they change that denominator to 4.6, which will allow a lot more schools to be able to qualify for it. And then we talked to them, too, about our vendors. We had vendors from all over the United States that told them with these restrictions that they have, and they're continuing to make it harder and harder, we're going to lose our vendors. And an example of that is they want to do a 10% decrease on milk. And the way that they're going to do that is they want to not be able to serve chocolate milk or strawberry milk to any students that are under a middle school age student. Well, the nutrients in milk, the kids really need. And so that was we're already 1%, you know, low fat. The kids like the milk. And so we really lobbied that they not put that into effect. We feel like that if students don't start drinking milk, I mean, you're going to have trouble when they get to be in high school and junior high to get them to drink milk. And so we are actually working with Gandy's, who realizes our plight in trying to get kids to drink milk, and it's a component that they have to take for the meal to be reimbursable. And so they're going to work with us and are looking at doing some Disney packaging and, like, you know, different little characters to try to help the kids. But we really hope that the representatives, it's kind of funny how hospitals work, which you probably know if you've ever dealt with it. It just kind of depends on what bill it gets put with. And so, you know, sometimes if it's not a real popular bill and they put the House Bill 1269 on it, it might not pass. And so, but we really went to bat for our vendors. It takes a lot. If you've ever been in a production facility, it takes a lot for them to change over the lines to change that product. It's not a just like Johnny on the spot, it's changed, let's roll. It takes a couple of years. And then they run the risk of, what if there's another change while they're trying to get that done? And so some of the things that we talked to the representatives about was that we tried to market like Tyson, you know, the things the kids see in the grocery store so that they'll eat when they eat with us. And so we went as well on that. And then, of course, we talked to them about the product shortages we're having. We are still cutting trays in half using the top for breakfast and the bottom for lunch due to the difficulty. And you never know. It's not like a vendor in a business outside of a school district where you know what's coming in on your truck and you know you're going to get it. A lot of times we don't even know until we open the truck that we haven't got what we need. And so it puts in a financial setting, the least you handle a product, the more cost effective it is. And if we're having to run around and move product from one school to another, it's really very expensive. But we had a good rapport with our representatives. We followed up with letters, and they actually extended our date of writing to congressmen to try to get these rules passed. We don't know yet if they will, but anyway, just to kind of give you an idea of what we're working for our students. And the thing that I think was relevant, and a lot of the representatives said, y'all have such a passion for feeding the children. And that's really what it's about. We're not about really to make money. We just want to be able to feed them to where they've had at least two good meals. And if they're in a program that can have a snack, that they, you know, we've been able to feed them at least two or three times that day. And so that kind of is where we're at. We were excited to be able to have the opportunity to do that. Out of all the meetings we go to, that would be one I think we should go to every year, because you truly have a chance. They teach you how to lobby, and then you have 2 days that you're running around Congress, you know, talking to people. And we were very pleased with the responses that we got. But again, you know, it will not be voted on probably until June. And so I looked it up to see if they might have voted on it, but they haven't yet. But we did make our best effort to try to get them to do that. And so the other thing I kind of wanted to cover was that we're kind of in the process of reviewing our shack rules and wellness policy, and we're going to do it every year. It's really my background is an accountant, and so I like to always be ready for audits. And so to me, instead of worrying about every 3 years, I want to review it every year, make sure that with the changes that they may bring, USDA may bring, that we are current and good with our wellness policy. I met with Linda and we reviewed it, and really nothing had really changed to make any revisions at this point. But that way we have it, and I'd like to come every year and speak to you guys so that you kind of know what we're doing, what we're looking at. And like I said, right now we'll continue the community eligibility provision for the next 3 years. You're qualified every 4 years, and so we'd have to re-qualify in the fifth year. But it's been great. Our participation is up. We're feeding kids, you know, even more than we fed last year. And so it's really, and a lot of times we'll have parents tell us, gosh, this has just been such a help. Also, they got the pandemic EBT card, which was $351 per student in a family house, which if you have four kids, that adds up a lot. But unfortunately, the last EBT payment will go out for the summer, and then that's over. That program has been discontinued. But anyway, do you have any questions about it?
You did. I think you pretty much answered mine. So, and you said it increased. So are y'all finding that you're feeding more than you were before this
yes.
program by
yes.
far?
Well, it's funny because we did the seamless summer option, but we had some kids that were being like virtual learning and, you know, a lot of absences with COVID and stuff. And so last year, I really thought that would kind of be my trend year, but I think there were still kids kind of slowly coming back. And so this year, we're up even from last year, but this will be our third year coming in that we're going to be feeding the kids for free. And so I do expect it to kind of level off, but even with enrollment down, our numbers are still up, which is good. I mean, that's what we want. We want to see that the kids are eating with us.
And I had gone to a conference one time, and there was somebody there that was promoting different grants and stuff for school districts, and their argument was that it's more cost effective for the school district because that's money that's definitely coming in because more students are going to eat,
yes.
and a lot of the students, the families can't afford to pay,
yes.
even if it's a small amount, so
yes.
they just don't eat. Are y'all seeing that?
Well, not now that we're free. We've had a lot of people that'll say, my kids eat with y'all now because I can't afford it.
Okay.
But you know, you don't think. A lot of our families in Abilene are like that $100 to $150 too high for food stamps or too, you know, and so, you know, we just really, we have always been kind of an outreach. We work with the families, try to do whatever we can to try to help them. But where this gap came in really was the middle income people who don't really make enough, but they make too much. And so it really filled the gap for that. And like I said, we do, of course, we apply for every grant. We were very lucky to get almost $800,000 in a supply shortage grant, which we applied to milk. We spend $535,000 a year on milk. And so it had to be, I wanted a straight line audit item, and that was easy. We just tracked it as we did. We unfortunately don't always get to get grants because we're very fortunate. We have an ending fund balance that kind of throws us out of that. But again, you know, it can easily go like that. And so, but any grant that we can get, we do try to. Every dime you can save, we're a penny business, so every penny we save feeds a child.
Right.
And that's how we look at it. Anyone else? All right, thank you for letting me come. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Candace.
And I'm going to.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then Linda, you've got Shack membership. I don't know if that's something you're going to just talk about.
No, I'm not going to
okay.
talk about it, but I'm just going
to
ask y'all. I'm going to pass this form out, and if you're just to kind of get a. Ideal if you're interested in serving on the Shack again next year, that if you'll just fill this out, and that way next year we won't have to do it the first meeting. So, and if you're not, there's a place you can fill out the thing too. And I won't hold it against you if you could. And I don't know, Misty, what's next?
Recommendation to the board.
Okay.
Is that
recommendations to the board? Do y'all what do y'all want to
topics
focus on the recommendation letter that I write? Oh, okay. Anybody?
So this is your final, like, this is like, are we coming to kind of to the end of a...
This is the last meeting this year that
okay.
we'll have. And so I always write a recommendation letter
over
from
what
the Shack. Uh-huh.
Over what?
So mainly we've talked about the sexuality. Mm-hmm. So.
And the nutrition and wellness, that's been the main things. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I mean, that's pretty much even last meeting.
I'm sure so. Kim can help me. Kind of.
Your recommendations to the board. So from our perspective on human sexuality and wellness, the five lesson in a week format seems to serve our students well. We had strong participation. I think probably the one recommendation that might come out of that is that we consider, or that we research any flexibilities the law offers us to make the letter not only an opt-in, but an opt-in or out, so that we do have every student return something. Because that was the place where we saw that, 30-ish percent of middle school students were opted out because they didn't opt in, and we're thinking, that probably wasn't true. So that might be a recommendation you want to make, is that you can't just say make it, but you could make the recommendation that we research the option of making the form returned by every seventh grade student, whether they are opting in or out. Because I think that goes a long way toward helping making sure that every family knows that this is happening. I was interested in Candace's report that going to Washington to lobby, and she said we'd like to make this to always go to this meeting. I mean, I'm not sure what the name of it was, but I was like, I want to recommend that yes, you get to go.
Right, and they continue.
You do continue to go, because the national networking and the ability to share our perspective with lawmakers is huge, because those decisions aren't made at the state level. Those decisions are made at the federal level. So sending people, and she covers that within her budget. That's not but for our board to support that, so sure. That our program stays strong. I think that, I heard her ask in a gentle way for your support for that.
That's true.
At the first meeting of the year, so I'm not sure. My position change was in October, so I think I've just had three.
Well, you can proof the letter after I write it. I'll send it out to the board, the staff members, the SHAC members, and then we'll present it probably in June to the board.
Maybe if there's anything out of your minutes from the last meeting about the human sexuality and wellness, I've addressed the presentation availability of curriculum for review. I think in that last paragraph you had, I don't remember who said it last time, but the maybe information for the nurses or counselors. That there be a plan for orienting them before the instruction happens, before that month of instruction for human sexuality happens, so that they know this is the content that's going to be addressed, so that they could be aware and prepared for questions that might come forward. I thought that was an excellent recommendation that came out of, it came from another member during that last meeting. I just don't remember who made that recommendation, but it was in the minutes. That would be a good thing. It wasn't part of our habit this year to catch the regular counselor meeting schedule or the regular school nurse schedule, and make when they had their regular meetings to be able to say, hey, this is what's coming up and this is when it'll be scheduled. So that would be perhaps something you want to make a recommendation for.
Anything else anyone else can think of?
final business. This is the last meeting that
this is the last meeting of this school year. Can you believe the year has gone so fast?
Yep. Right.
Who's getting older?
My dad always said it's because what you're there, the thing you're counting in is bigger, but that means there are fewer of them.
Is it 1 year is less of a percentage? Like when you're 10, it's 1/10.
Sure.
It's and huge.
Then you start counting in decades instead of minutes.
It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then do we just adjourn meeting, or do we anything else? Is there anything?
I don't know if it's
okay. I mean,
does anybody else have anything else they'd like to say? Well, I appreciate
it. Awesome.
Fun to work with. Thank you.
Yes.
So we'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting for the end of the year here, or not?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Linda, for the children currently enrolled in Abilene ISD, do you want us to fill this out as if it's next year?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sure they're all going to pass, right?
Well, I don't have a choice, but I still want to fill it out the way you want.